Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for what you are going to do in our midst. Thank you for what you did here last night. Thank you for opening our eyes to that which you have ordained for us. Thank you for an hunger and a thirst, even for more of you. This evening we are asking that your will be done in our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So let's just welcome somebody beside us and tell them you are welcome to a night of anointing. The anointing of God will speak in our lives even tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord bless you. We'll talk briefly tonight on what I title Anointing to Do His Will. Anointing to Do His Will, the will of God. In Matthew chapter 6, where we took the theme for this gathering, verse 9 and 10, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The theme of our gathering is as it is in heaven. The question tonight is, what are we referring to when we say we want something to be as it is in heaven? And the phrase before that simply said, thy will be done on earth. I believe God with somebody tonight that the will of God for you will surely be done. Yeah. Peradventure, you are not yet in the right course for the will of God for your life. God, it is infinite mercy. We bring you to that place where you will be in his will. The Bible tells us when you read in the book of Romans in chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 1 and 2, it said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, this is your reasonable service. And then he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know the will of God for your life? Then you begin to do something about renewing your mind. It is when you are in the path of renewing your mind and you are no longer conformed to the world that God can move you in the direction of his will. I pray tonight that God's will concerning you will be done in the name of Jesus. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. Say, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Until the way you think change, you can't know the will of God for you. You must change the way you have been thinking even before tonight. I pray tonight that somebody's will be made manifest, will be made clear to that person in the name of Jesus. Now, the word of God contains his will for man. The word of God contains his will for man. Now, the will of a man are the assets which he freely leaves behind, even as inheritance to his heirs or to his children. Oh, these assets are finished work. They are finished things. It's not like as if you are going to inherit a will and you have to go and start working on it. It's what that man has finished and bequeathed even to his children. When you read in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 9, in verse 16 to 17, said, where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. He said, for a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it's of no strength at all while the testator liveth. When you read it in the New Living Translation, say, when someone leaves a will, It is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. I pray tonight that the will of the Lord Jesus concerning you, the will of our God in heaven concerning you, that will go into effect from this night in the name of Jesus. Some years ago, we were ministering deliverance to a particular sister who somehow life had come to a standstill and was not making progress. She was married, there was no fruitful, things were not working. And then as we are ministering, I declared that this scripture, that for anything to be in effect, there must be a death of the testator. And suddenly a voice from inside her spoke and said, yes, I am the father and I am dead. And this one will not amount to anything. That she went to marry without my permission. Now at that point, a voice from inside her that was speaking was the voice of a dead man. And that voice was saying that what he had written or decided before he died must remain. Now that voice was using the same scripture I quoted to deal with the problem this woman was going through. How do I handle this demonic thing right now? People of God, in spiritual warfare, when the enemy throws a word at you, you must have a higher word to counter it. If there is no higher word to counter, then that battle is lost. That day, the Holy Spirit helped me and I said, there is only one who died and resurrected. There's only one who died and lives forevermore. He died so that his own will can stand and that everyone that dies and resurrects with him will live forever. I am not a servant to the dead, I'm a servant to the living. I declare that that voice will be quiet and this woman must be released today. I speak into somebody's life. Whatsoever is the will that you have been following, is it the will of dead ancestors? Is it the will of dead men? Is it the will of people that are around you that is not the will of the Most High? I declare that that will is canceled today in the name of Jesus. God's will concerning you will be done. I say what God has written concerning you will be done. Today is the beginning of a new will, a new testament, a new dawn in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say better, amen. Now the will of God for you has been settled from the foundation of the earth. When you read in the book of Revelations, in chapter 13, in verse 8, the Bible says that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God, slaughtered before the world began. Now, Jesus said clearly when that was going to be brought into manifestation. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. In Matthew 26, in verse 39 to verse 42, where he was praying in the garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. There is a will for you that has been written from the foundation of the earth. There is something you are meant to become in life that has been written from the foundation of the earth. And many times when it is time for that to be fulfilled, there will be certain challenges that make it difficult. But I pray tonight that there will be a special grace, a special anointing to help you to fulfill his will in your life in the name of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, when you read between verse 2 and verse 3, the Bible says the same word that was preached to us and that mixed with faith in us was the word that was preached to them, but it did not profit them because it did not mix with faith in them. And then he said, although that work was finished from the foundation of the earth. So you will see two, three people
And they are sharing the word, the will that is meant for them. And this person receives that will because it meets with faith in that individual. And the other person does not receive it because he didn't find faith. He said, although that will, that destiny, that intention of God had been settled from the foundation of the earth, I pray tonight that your faith will rise to what God has destined for you, to what God has ordained for you, to what God has finished for you, in the name of Jesus. The will of God for you is the destiny God has ordained for you. I gave you the example of Jeremiah yesterday, when God said to him, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you as what? A prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah was said, I'm a little child, I cannot speak. Many times when God shows us the destiny he has for us, we are quick to look at our size, our age, our present status, our ability to say to God, what you have ordained for me, I can't do it. Or what you have ordained for me is more than what I can handle. But there's an anointing that will cover the gap. There's an anointing that will bring you up. There's an anointing that will take you from where you are right now to where you ought to be. The destiny God has ordained for you is where you ought to be. You know what God did to Jeremiah in that Jeremiah 1? The Bible says he touched his mouth. The moment his mouth was touched, Jeremiah was not the same person anymore. What he couldn't do before, he was now ready to do. God is going to touch somebody's life tonight. A fresh anointing is coming upon someone. A new oil is coming upon you, so that thy will be done. His will for you will be done. I say his will for you will be done. Now, destiny has something to do with destination. It's the place God has in mind to take you. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, and to bring you to your expected end. Destiny, dictionary defines it as events that will necessarily happen to a particular person or thing in the future, a predetermined destination, a predetermined place. Now, the executor of destinies is the Almighty God. Bible says in the book of Job in chapter 23, when you read in verse 14, Job 23 verse 14, the Bible says, he performed the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. But when you read it in the Amplified Version, he says, he performs that which he has planned for me. And of many such matters, he is mindful. Everything God has planned for you, is going to perform it. Oh, I say he is going to perform it. In the name of Jesus. I say heaven will perform what God has planned for you. In the name of Jesus. That which is the plan of God for you will not be delayed anymore. It will not tarry. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the New Living Translation, look at how it is written. Job 23, when you read in verse 13 and 14, he said, but once he has made his decision, who can change his mind? Whatever he wants to do, he does. So he will do to me whatever he has planned. He controls my destiny. Who controls your destiny? Can I hear that word cloud? Can you say louder? Don't forget, there are some people that are following the destiny or the will of the ancestors. There are some people that are following something they inherited from their parents. But I'm saying to you that you can follow what you are inheriting from your heavenly father. Every will that is not your heavenly father's will, I deliver you from that will today. I say from now you begin to follow the will of your heavenly father in the name of Jesus. In Psalm 73, when you read in verse 24 to 25, the Bible says in the New Living Translation that God guides us to our glorious destinies. There is a glorious destiny for you, sister. There is a glorious destiny for you, brother. The one who guides you to that destiny is who? Can you say it louder? And I believe, God, that tonight you are being guided to that destiny. When you read in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, in verse 10 in the New Living Translation, Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 10, the Bible says everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person will be. So there is no use arguing with God about your what? Your destiny. Can you look at three people and tell them everything has already been decided? Everything has already been decided. Everything has already been decided. Everything has already been decided. Now, you need to now tell yourself, from tonight, what God has decided concerning me, I begin to operate in that realm. Not what man decided concerning you. Not what parents decided concerning you. Led to the parents of Jacob, he was a supplanter. But what heaven decided concerning Jacob was that he will be head and his brother will be beneath him. Heaven had already said that from the womb. But when the parents looked at Jacob, they decided that this one is a supplanter, until a day came that Jacob decided, I will not let this God go except he bless me. I pray for somebody tonight. What heaven has decided concerning you that you have not yet begun to manifest, by the mercies of the living God, anointed to manifest it. Step into that anointing. Let me share this quickly. You know, in 1 Kings in chapter 19, God spoke to Elijah to anoint three people. God said to him, anoint Jehu to be king in Israel. Anoint Azel to be king in Syria. And then anoint Elisha in your place. And Elijah practically just dropped the mantle on only one person, Elisha. Now, Jehu, heaven had decided that Jehu should become king. Azel should become king. But the prophet did not carry out the anointing concerning these men. And the Bible tells us in 2 Kings, when you read in chapter 8, that Elisha, who took over from Elijah, when Elisha was about to go, he called his servant and said to him, carry your oil and go and make Jehu to arise from amongst his brethren and anoint him. Until that anointing came upon Jehu, what heaven has decided concerning him could not start. I pray for somebody tonight. The destiny that heaven has decided, that has been kept pending, after tonight's anointing service, you will step into it. Peradventure, you're on the wrong track. This anointing is going to bring you from the wrong track to the place where heaven has decided for you. I pray that you will not go astray. I pray that you will no longer languish in the wilderness. That by God's mercies, you will begin to operate in divine destinies. In the name of Jesus. If you agree, say better amen. Now, when you read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, the Bible says in verse 16, in the New Living Translation, he said, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I want you to please understand that our God is the God of purpose. And every day of our life is already written out what we are supposed to accomplish each day. And the Bible says every day was recorded in his book. In the Amplified Version, he said, your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. I pray that what God has written concerning you, you will begin to fulfill them in the name of Jesus. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. He said he came in the volume of the book written concerning him. There is something written about you. There is something written about me. I just told you now that the will of God concerning you is in his word. And that any time a will is going to be executed, the person who wrote the will has to die. Jesus gave us a will in the Gospels, and he died and resurrected. I am saying to somebody, everything written about you that has not yet manifested, it is time to manifest it. So the Bible tells us, when you read in Revelation in chapter 5, in verse 1, the Bible said there was a book in the right hand of God. And that book was written within and without. But the book was sealed. And then when John on the island of Patmos saw that revelation, he began to weep. And the elder said, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to break the seven seals and to open the book thereof." And then the Bible said they saw a lamb that was slain. And that lamb that was slain came and took the book from the hand of God, broke the seven seals, and he opened it. I told you yesterday that the blood of the lamb that is slain opens doors. That blood deals with territorial spirit. I want to add to it tonight that not only does it deal with territorial spirit, he opens your book of destiny also. Everything written about you that has not yet been opened by the mercies of the living God, they are opening tonight. They are opening today in the name of Jesus. And you know what the Bible says in that Revelation 5? The Bible makes us to understand that the moment the books were opened, there was a great, great rejoicing. There was a great rejoicing in the heavenlies. The Bible says, and the elders, they came forth in verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in heaven." We shall reign where? Is it heaven that the Bible says? We shall reign where? Many people think that Christians are not permitted to reign on earth. They think the place to reign is in heaven. They think that this world is a place where we are to suffer and toil so that we can go to heaven and enjoy. But the Bible tells us there is a destiny for you here. And when we are talking about destiny, we are not talking about destiny in heaven. We are talking about your destiny here on earth. That his will be done on earth as it is done where? As it is done in heaven. And so, you don't only want to make it to heaven, you want to also reign here on earth. The Bible says, and he has made us unto our God, kings and what? And priests. And we shall reign where? On earth. And I said to somebody, there's a new anointing coming on you. That anointing will make you to reign. You will reign here on earth, and you will make it to heaven. In the name of Jesus, if you believe and agree, let your amen be louder than that of your neighbor. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, King of Glory. We bless your name. You remember our Lord Jesus, after he had passed the test with the devil in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 13, Luke 4 verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region. But look at what the Bible says in verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord," verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." To do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Then the Bible went on in verse 19 and 20. And then the Bible says in verse 19, it says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Bible tells us, and he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister. and he sat down. And the eyes of them were looking at him. And verse 21, the Bible says, verse 21, which is where we're going, he said, he began to say, this day, when? This day. He said, this scripture is fulfilled. Where? In your ears. Where did he start that statement? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Somebody is also going to say the same thing tonight. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to fulfill my destiny. He has anointed me to step into my destiny. He has anointed me to step into my purpose. He has anointed me to step into the will of God for my life. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in my life. That shall be somebody's testimony tonight. If you came to church, let your amen be louder than that. And so the anointing is needed to fulfill your destiny. The anointing is needed to fulfill your purpose. The anointing is needed to do the will of God. The anointing is needed for you to do that which God has finished concerning you. Number one, you must receive it with faith. Number two, you must receive an anointing of God to step into that place. What anointing does is to help you to rise from where you are to where you ought to be. It's God talking to somebody. And so what you couldn't do before, when you read in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 10, the Bible talks about how Samuel anointed Saul from verse 1. And then the Bible said, he said to him that from this moment, something is going to happen to you. You'll meet a company of prophets. I think in verse 6, you meet a company of prophets. And then from that moment, you'll prophesy with them. He said, do as occasion demands. You have been turned into another man. There is somebody hearing me. The anointing will turn you into another man. The anointing will transform you. The anointing will change you. I said the anointing will turn you around in the name of Jesus. When they invited Saul and they wanted to make him king, he said, who am I? I'm the least in my father's house. In fact, our family is the least in the tribe of Benjamin. The Benjamin is the least tribe in the land of Israel. How can this small me become a king? And that mindset needs to change. Don't forget what we read in Romans 12 in verse 2. Until you change your thinking, you can't step into the will of God. The thinking you have right now is so myopic, is so little, that you cannot be able to fathom even that destiny that God has ordained for you. But I believe God that there's an anointing coming that will change your thinking. There's an anointing coming that will change your personality. It will change your internal chemistry. You will just understand. Suddenly, you will realize I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You suddenly realize all things will work together for my good. The lines are falling to me in pleasant places. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. It's God talking to somebody. When men say there's a casting down, I shall be saying what? There's a lifting up. Is he lifting up? He's not just saying it by mouth. He's knowing it. You know it inside of you. Because there's an unction that comes on you that just tells you you are changed. You are different. You are different. You are different. If they ever told me I will be able to preach, I'll tell them it's not possible. But there's an unction that comes. There's a grace that comes. Ask people who have preached before, people who have handled this mic. Many times before you go and pick up the mic, you are filled with trepidation. But the moment you pick it, there's an anointing that comes. It's no longer you speaking. That anointing enables you to do what you cannot humanly do before. I pray tonight that that anointing will move you into what heaven has destined for you in the name of Jesus. I see the anointing of God lifting somebody. I see that anointing taking you higher. Taking you to where God wants you to be. In the name of Jesus. Now, what is that destiny? What is it going to do? Ephesians chapter 2. When you read in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. The Bible says that we are created to do good works. In the NIV version, the Bible says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, if that scripture stopped at to do good works, it would have been powerful enough. But that scripture is saying that these good works had been prepared by God for us to do. There are good works that heaven has already prepared for you to do. I pray by the mercies of the living God that you will start doing those good works. Oh, I say you will start doing those good works. In the New Living Translation, the Bible says we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. There are good things that God planned for you from the foundation of the earth. Your name is written on those good things. And I'm asking God tonight that you will begin to do those good things. Now listen, the Bible says he created us anew. That is, the reason why we are saved, the reason why there is salvation, the reason why we are born again is not just for us to be enjoying what God can give to the believer. It's for us to become tools in the hand of God to do what God has preordained for you and I. Oh my God. Are you still with me? Now, many times we think that we are saved so that we can have access to everything God has prepared for us. Yes, that's part of the answer. But the number one reason we are saved from that scripture, Ephesians 2 verse 10, is that God created us anew because there is something heaven has prepared for us, even from the foundation of the earth, that we ought to be doing and we are not yet doing. And after salvation, you need to find out what that thing is. You need to step into those good works. You need to say, oh God, help me to move into those good works. I like the way the Message version says. He said, the good work God has preordained for you that you ought to be doing. You in fact need to have started doing it. I pray tonight that if you have not started doing the good works ordained for you, after this night, you will start. That's why the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, when you read in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing them that were oppressed of the devil. For who was with him? God was with him. Now, Jesus needed to be anointed to start doing good works. His own good works was to heal them that were oppressed of the devil. Do you know the good works you are meant to do? I pray that after this night, the will of God concerning you will be done. The good works heaven has written concerning you, you start doing them. The anointing for you to start doing good works, that anointing will start speaking in your life. That anointing will manifest. I told you the story of Jehu just now. Jehu was a soldier, a commander in the army. But the good works he was to do was to become king. Not just become king, that's his destination to be king, but the real assignment was to make sure that Jezebel was dealt with. To deal with the kingdom of darkness that had ravaged the nation of Israel. But until the anointing came upon Jehu, he remained in the barracks playing tombola. Go and check what that means. He remained in the barracks playing games. And there are many of you playing games right now. And your destiny is a serious destiny. The future that God has for you, the good works that God has for you, is so serious that if you know what that good works are, what they are, you will just realize you've been wasting time. I pray that this anointing coming on you tonight will suddenly wake you up. Will suddenly jack you out of that place where you have been lagging behind and move you into that destiny that God has ordained for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now please understand something. It's possible for you to be in the palace like Esther was in the palace and still not be fulfilling purpose, still not be fulfilling destiny. Do you know why? Because many of us are in the place where we ought to be, but we don't know what we ought to do. Mordecai came to Esther and said, maybe you're in the realm for such a time as this. It was at that point that Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Let everybody pray for me. Everywhere you are, there is something God wants you to accomplish there. Do you know that Joseph was in the palace, and then his brothers came to the palace, and when they realized it was Joseph, they were afraid. And Joseph said, don't be afraid. Now I know it is not you that sent me or sold me to slavery. He said, no. Now I know that it was God who sent me here. So when they were being wicked and they were selling into slavery, Joseph said, you are not the one. It was part of the arrangement. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to what? His purpose. He said, God sent me to save much people alive. That is, I'm in the destination God has for me. And I know my purpose here is to save you people alive. Do you know your purpose where you are? Do you know your assignment where you are? Do you know what you ought to be doing where you are? If you don't know what you ought to be doing, you will abuse it. Somebody said, I think Miles Morrow, he said, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. I pray tonight that you will have an understanding of your purpose. You will have an understanding of your destiny. You will have an understanding of the will of God concerning you. And when it is time to execute that will, may the anointing of God help you. May that grace be available in the name of Jesus. If you believe and you agree, let your amen be louder. So when we say as it is in heaven, so be it on earth, what we are simply saying is what heaven has already written concerning you and I, what heaven has already declared, that testament, that will of heaven concerning you, you want it done now. When do you want it done? Oh, say it louder. When do you want it? And what will activate it is the anointing. Is what? The anointing. I pray that anointing will come quickly. That anointing will come speedily upon you in the name of Jesus. I said this somewhere recently, that somebody said that when people die and they go to heaven, that a movie of their life will be played to them. And every terrible thing they have done on earth will be made manifest to them. And that they will see the bad things they did, the day they committed sin. But I beg to be different. Because the Bible says, when God forgives us, he also forgets. And so, if he has forgiven and forgotten, then there will be no video to play every bad thing I've done. Am I talking to somebody? But there will still be a video to play. And what that video is going to play is what life I'm supposed to live compared to the one I have lived. And then they will want to see, am I supposed to have reached 10 nations and I reached only 2? You're not going to be judged based on how you competed with men on earth. You're going to be judged based on the destiny God had written concerning you. And if God had written that you are meant to reach 10 nations and you have reached only 2 nations, they will tell you, God, you caught 2/10. And so you don't need to struggle with your brother on earth anymore. Rather, struggle with yourself that the destiny God has ordained for me, I must accomplish it. Jacob, I told you earlier, kept wrestling with his brother Esau. You remember? He kept wrestling, kept struggling with Esau. The first time in his life, he decided, I'm not going to wrestle with Esau anymore. I want to wrestle with God. And said, God, I won't let you go unless you bless me. That day, his life was sorted out. You have been wrestling with men. And then the Lord said to him, he said, you have been wrestling with men and you prevailed. And now you have wrestled with God and you prevailed. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob. Your name shall be called what? Israel. Do you know the meaning of Israel? A fighter. The one who fought with men and prevailed. And now fought with God and prevailed. And I told somebody, you need to fight God. He said, no, I can't fight God. But the Bible says that you should fight God. He said, give God no rest until he make you a praise on the earth. God himself says, come and contend with me. And so you need to go and wrestle with God and not wrestle with men. Now, somebody just don't understand how to fight God. The way you fight God and you wrestle with God is, I won't let you go unless you bless me. You don't fight God like you fight men. You fight God by worshiping him. When you worship God, and God is saying, you've been worshiping for the last 6 hours, I need to go. And you say, no, I still have a song to sing. I want to worship you more. You know what God is going to do? He say, what do you want? What can I do for you? And then you say your case, and God says, oh, don't worry, I'm settling it. I believe there's somebody that is going to go out of here with a new name, a new identity, a new anointing, a new grace. If you came to church, let your amen be louder. That anointing is coming on you in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say better amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I usually define anointing. I want to round this off. I usually define anointing like this, as God at work in man. And I define glory like this, God at work without man. Let me expatiate. The Bible says, touch not my anointed. And the Bible says, he that touches the anointed of God touches the apple of his eye. And so every time that you are contending with the anointed, you are contending with God. And so when you see the anointing of God at work in a place, it is God who literally are coming to that person and is doing the work. But when you see glory at work, the Bible says the glory of God filled the temple and the ministers could do minister. So glory says, minister, step aside. I, God, want to move without anybody there. The anointing we are talking about is simply God stepping into your body, stepping into your life and saying, what you couldn't do by yourself, I want to do with you. And I'm believing God that Jehovah God is stepping into somebody's life tonight. That what you couldn't do before, you will suddenly find yourself doing them in the name of Jesus. And I believe that with God, all things are possible. Amen. Mary said, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? In Luke chapter 1, do you remember? And the angel of the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall do what? Shall overshadow you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And then said, you will conceive. And he said, for your cousin Elizabeth, the one that the whole world has called barren, is 6 months pregnant. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now listen, with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, he didn't say by God. He said with God. That with simply means God plus me. And I'm saying to somebody, when the anointing comes on you, it's God plus you. It's no longer you alone doing it. And it's not God alone doing it. That's the glory. It is you and God. It simply means going forward from tonight, whatever you decide to do, you are not alone. Oh, did you come to church? That you and God are the ones going to start doing it together. And then what you had thought was impossible, it will no longer be what? It will no longer be impossible. I believe God with somebody today. All those difficult things, those impossible things, those things that are difficult to accomplish, begin to accomplish them. You know, one interesting story about that story in Luke chapter 1 is that Mary was a very young lady. Theologians believe that Mary wasn't even as old as 20 when this angel came to talk to her. And the moment the angel left, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon her. Please put it on the screen for us. Luke chapter 1, verse 36 now. And the Bible says, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, the one has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6 month with her who was declared barren. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Continue. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? Thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 40, quickly. And Mary arose in those days and went into a hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Continue. and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Please pause there. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord said to Mary, the power of the highest will overshadow you. The spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And the moment the angel said so, Mary left where that declaration was made. He said, be it unto me according to thy word. And she left there that declaration was made and went to the house of Elizabeth. And the Bible says, the moment she knocked on the door of the house of Elizabeth, the Bible says, the babe in the womb of Elizabeth was filled, or the babe lived in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with what? With the Holy Ghost. Now, Mary was carrying the Holy Spirit, was coming to where Elizabeth was. Now, Elizabeth was maybe 80 years old or more, and Elizabeth was the mommy Geo of their time. Elizabeth was far older than Mary. Mary was so young, but there was something that came upon Mary that Elizabeth needed in life. And that is why I like what God said to Jeremiah, say not you are a child. There are many of us that think we are too young to be useful. We think we are too small to be relevant. But child of God, there is an anointing you can carry. There is an Holy Ghost power you can carry. That even those that have gone ahead of you, those that have been doing ministry before you, needs that anointing for what is inside of them to leap. Oh, people of God, maybe what Elizabeth was carrying was already dormant. What Elizabeth was carrying was already cold. What Elizabeth was carrying was already practically dead. But at the sound of Mary's salutation, that which Elizabeth was carrying came back to life. I said to somebody today, there's an anointing coming upon you. It will change generations. It will change people ahead of you. It will make those that are ahead of you to carry a leaping fire, a leaping grace, a leaping unction in the name of Jesus. So don't say you are too small. That anointing is coming today. And as that anointing comes upon you, you'll be fulfilling purpose. You'll be fulfilling destiny. You'll be changing lives in the name of Jesus. If you believe and you agree, let your amen be louder. So I said to somebody, that anointing will make you to begin to speak. Oh, I say, as you begin to speak, there shall be manifestation in the name of Jesus. I say, as you begin to speak, there shall be manifestation in the name of Jesus. Bones will begin to merge. There shall be leaping everywhere your word goes. Ezekiel chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 2, his spirit entered into me at the sound of his voice. As I was hearing his voice, as he spoke to me, the spirit entered into me. There is somebody hearing me today, that the spirit will be entering into you as you are hearing this voice. And there is somebody hearing me today, where you are going to speak next, the spirit will be entering into others, even as you speak in the name of Jesus. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and their life. I said to somebody today, by the reason of that anointing coming upon you, you are going to be changing lives. You are going to be changing destinies. You are going to be changing homes in the name of Jesus. God's hand will be evident upon your life. Stand up on your feet. Lip o shekata. Rap o shekete. Li musunta li papayekete. Li musunta la payekete, li musunta la baye, ora popo yekete, li musunta la papaye, li musekata la payekata, ora popo yekete. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Thank you for your fresh unction. Thank you for your fresh anointing. Thank you for your new grace. Thank you. Thank you for your mighty hand. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you, King of Glory. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Lord. Thank you. We bless your name. Oh, thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
The Bible says something about David in 2 Samuel 23. In verse 1 and 2. He said these are the last words of David. David the son of Jesse. The man who was raised up on high. The anointed of the God of Jacob. The sweet psalmist of Israel. He said, the spirit of the Lord speak by me, and his word was in my tongue. I'm believing God with somebody tonight that the spirit of the Lord is going to speak by you. The word of God will be in your tongue. The anointing that you need so that what heaven has destined for you will begin to happen. May that anointing come upon you in the name of Jesus. May that oil come upon you. May that grace come upon you. May that fire begin to burn inside of you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, King of Glory. When you read in the book of Psalms, the Bible tells us in Psalm 63, between verse 1 and 2, Psalm 63, the Bible says, oh God, early will I seek thee. He said, my soul thirsts for thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My soul long for thee in a dry and thirsty land wherein is no water. Then he said in verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory. I don't know how thirsty you are. Bible tells us in Matthew, when you read in chapter 5 verse 6, the Bible says, blessed are they that thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I know we all came in here and we've all heard the message, but our feeling is dependent on how thirsty we are. It's dependent on how hungry you are. What are you hungry for in life? What are you thirsty for in life? The psalmist said, my soul thirsted for you in a dry and thirsty land to see your power and to see your glory. Do you want to see his power and glory concerning your destiny? Do you want to see his power and glory concerning your future? Do you want to see his power and glory concerning your life? How thirsty are you to see his power? How thirsty are you to see his glory? The Bible says to the full soul, even honey, they will not honey. He said, but to the thirsty, to the hungry, bitter things are sweet. How thirsty are you for God? How hungry are you for God? How thirsty are you for God? Are you thirsty for this Most High? Are you thirsty for God? For God even to flow inside of you? Are you asking the Spirit of the Living God to come into you right now and to say, Lord, I thirst for you. I hunger for you. I need you. I need you. There's somebody that needs God more than ever before. You need God more than ever before tonight. Lift up your voice to heaven and just roar to the Most High. I'm thirsty for you, Lord. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me tonight. Fill me tonight. Fill me to overflowing. I thirst for Lord. I thirst for you, Jehovah. I thirst for you, King of Glory. I thirst for you in the name of Jesus. My destiny must be fulfilled. My future must be made manifest. My glory must appear in the name of Jesus. Lipaye katalaboye. Ore papa yekete. Limo sunta lipapa yekete. Lema yekete. Rapopo yekata labaye. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this testing of my soul.